This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Red Sox president Sam Kennedy said today that the Sox organization believes Orioles center fielder Adam Jones and his allegations that last night some Sox fans hurled racist taunts at him and that one fan even threw a bag of peanuts at Jones. Here's Sam Kennedy today on WEEI Radio.
The reports did not specifically reference racial taunting. However, I want to be very clear. We take Adam Jones at his word.
Well, joining us now with more is Shira Springer. She's WBUR sports and society reporter. Hi there, Shira.
Hello.
Also with us is Howard Bryant, senior writer for ESPN and author of Shutout, A Story of Race and Baseball in Boston. Howard, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
So, Shira, let me just start with you. Obviously, an unpleasant, ugly situation even last night at Fenway Park. What more are the Sox saying today?
Well, basically, they're still investigating the incident, but the main facts are that there were fans, they say a few ignorant fans, who were hurling racial epithets at Adam Jones, and that one fan did indeed hit him with a bag of peanuts, but they are trying to get down to the bottom of it. There were a number of ejections last night. It doesn't surprise me, since it was a chilly evening at the ballpark, and that tends to drive up the alcohol usage. So that's where things are now. I think they are, one, investigating what exactly happened at the ballpark last night, and two, trying to determine what other policies need to be put in place security-wise and in terms of player protection-wise in the future.
Right. And I see a statement that was released by the Red Sox as well. They're saying that the Red Sox want to publicly apologize to Adam Jones and the entire Orioles organization for what occurred at Fenway Park Monday night. I mean, is that significant that the Sox are going so far as to apologize?
Yeah, I think so, in the sense that they felt that, you know, they got to take Adam Jones at his word before the whole investigation has concluded, and they want to be proactive about this. I think part of it is the fact that they are going to play the Orioles again tonight, so you don't want this festering and lingering and perhaps getting exacerbated on the field tonight and perhaps off the field in the stands tonight. So they had to take some action to clear the air a bit before the two teams resume play this evening. Mm.
Now, Howard, let me turn to you, because obviously you've written a great deal about Boston, baseball, and race. I just want to read another line here from the Sox statement today. They say, the Red Sox have zero tolerance for such inexcusable behavior, and our entire organization and our fans are sickened by the conduct of an ignorant few. I mean, react to what happened last night. How does this incident sort of settle with you in terms of the larger history of the Red Sox and race?
Well, the Red Sox have zero tolerance of it today, just like the Red Sox have zero tolerance of it last year, when David Price talked about having to go through this from his own home fans, just like the Red Sox have had zero tolerance of it every time it happens and then the next time it happens. This is something that hasn't gone away with this fan base, and it's not. And I think people want to make some sort of comparison. Well, does this happen in New York? Sure, it happens in New York. Does it happen in San Francisco or Los Angeles or Denver? Sure, it happens. Wherever there are people, there are going to be disagreement, and there's always going to be some sort of conflict. However, Boston has a special history. Boston's got a special place in its relationship with African Americans, in terms of that team has a special relationship. So you can't compare. It's almost like talking to little kids. Well, what about what Johnny did? Well, I'm not talking about Johnny. I'm talking about you. And so when you're dealing with the Red Sox, the history of it, the history of the city, all of it sort of comes together. And I think what's really sort of disappointing about this as well is the fact that Adam Jones was playing for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. Mm-hmm. There are very few players in the game who are as popular as he. And on the one hand, you've got a rivalry, and as Shira said too, you've got the alcohol flowing, and so it's sort of a perfect storm that something was going to happen. But my initial reaction was, as usual, because I don't think the Red Sox or Red Sox fans in general really, really want to confront this, that this is why it keeps happening. Normally what they do is there's the media brigade of trying to diffuse what happened instead of confronting what happened.
Let me just bring Shira back in here.
Yeah, I mean, I think Howard is exactly right to talk about the history of this organization. Let's not forget that the Red Sox were the last major league team to integrate when they put Pumpsy Green on the roster in 1959. You know, they had a shot at Jackie Robinson, and basically their owner at the time said no. And many people think of, you know, Tom Yawkey as a racist owner. So there's that institutional history here with the Red Sox. And I can remember a player that I covered, Mo Vaughn, talking to high school students evidence about racism that he experienced. And I mean, it's not just the Red Sox, too. It goes out to the broader city. I mean, you think of, you know, African-American athletes, professional athletes who called Boston home, a legendary player like Bill Russell experiencing, racism in this city. So I think there's both the Red Sox institutional history there, and as well as the larger history in Boston of professional black athletes experiencing racism. And so that's why this incident gets so much attention.
Yeah, and also, Sherrod, you know, you've got it, you know, but it's not just that. And you were there with Mo. It's also something else, and that is it's easy to dismiss a 1945 tryout. I mean, World War II wasn't even over yet, so it's like that was a really long time ago. Okay, you can dismiss it that way. And they, you know, could have been the first team to integrate, and instead they were the last with Pumpsy Green in 59. And 59, that was a long time ago. But here's the real thing with the Red Sox. The Red Sox did not sign a black free agent until 1992. And so what you're also saying is that when you're signing a free agent, you have the black player who has to choose to come here. And free agency began in 1975. So between 1975 and 1992, not a single black person who played Major League Baseball chose to come to Boston.
And there's more to that too, Howard, right? It's not that they didn't choose. There were some players who actually, if I recall correctly, had it written into their contracts that they could, and didn't Ken Griffey Jr. too, I believe, had it written into their contracts that they couldn't be traded to Boston because they didn't want to play here. And remember the first go-around with Kevin Garnett, there was talk of that he didn't want to come to the city because he was concerned about how or whether they accepted black athletes. Now, he got past that, but you know, this is a lingering concern for black athletes who are out there.
So let me just ask you both, and I know this may be an unpopular question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I mean, I take all of the examples, potent and real, that both of you have brought in terms of the Red Sox history and race, but are we at a place now where, I mean, can we legitimately say that the actions of maybe a few bad actors last night is an unfair tarnishing of Red Sox fans and even the organization as a whole?
No.
No? Okay.
No,
tell me more, Howard.
And I'll tell you why. It's because when you have a culture, it is your responsibility to be proactive in crushing that culture if it makes you look bad.
So what should the Sox do now to then crush that culture now?
Well, I think they've got to do a few things. I think the first thing they have to do is they've got to, you can't just eject a guy. You either lose, you know, you can't be back in the ballpark for 5 years or 2 years, however many years. You've got to do something more. I think that's the first thing. And I think the second thing that you do as well is that let's not also forget that the flagship station of the Red Sox, WEEI, is very well known for their morning show of being a very intolerant show.
Yeah. And she was shaking her head in vigorous agreement.
I'm saying that's to put it mildly.
Yeah.
Both on a racist terms and sexist terms.
Kind. Mm-hmm. Exactly. On all levels. And have the Red Sox ever gone out of their way to use their power to tone it down? That radio station is speaking to the fan base.
Yeah. You know, I know I'm going to jump in. Howard, sorry, I'm sorry to cut you off, but she's got to run off and do some more reporting here. So I'm going to give you one last say here.
No, Sarah. I think you're absolutely right. And in fact, today, who gets the big sort of interview but WEEI with the Red Sox president? So not only are they not going on or sort of disciplining in some way the flagship station, they're giving them the big scoop of the day. And I also think, you know, Howard, you are echoing something that Adam Jones said about the severity of the punishment for these fans. That's where it has to start. It's not just about a 2-year or 3-year ban or whatever. It should be a lifetime ban. And Adam Jones actually brought up the possibility of fining fans, and I think that's an interesting way you could take this. You know, not only are they banned, but they have to pay for their bad behavior, and we'll see if that sort of changes the behavior in stadiums and perhaps gets rid of this type of behavior.
If you care, do something about it.
Well,
and do something strong. Take strong action
and fast, right?
Yes.
Howard Bryant, ESPN and ESPN senior writer and NPR correspondent. Thank you so much for joining us today, Howard.
Thank you.
And Shira Springer, WBUR Sports and Society reporter. Thank you, Shira.
Thank you for having me.